China tackles an outbreak of bird flu.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Officials in China announced today that a sixth person has died from a new strain of bird flu. 14 people near Shanghai have been infected. And today, authorities there decided to close all of the city's poultry markets. Marketplace's China correspondent Rob Schmitz reports.
Health officials believe people are contracting the virus, known as H7N9, through direct contact with infected birds, including pigeons and chickens. Starting tomorrow, all of the city's poultry markets, 460 of them, will be temporarily closed. It's a move that's sure to have a huge economic impact on the city of 24 million people. City official Shaolin Chu attempted to calm fears at a Friday press conference.
The government will reimburse poultry vendors with at least 50% of the market price as compensation for their lost poultry.
The news could be a hit for Yum Brands, parent company of KFC, which earned nearly half of its revenue last year from China. So far, health officials have not found evidence that this bird flu strain can be transmitted between humans. Shanghai officials said today that two of those infected, including a four-year-old child, are showing signs of recovery. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmidt for Marketplace.
We could get a look at congressional plans for an immigration overhaul as soon as next week. The House bill would reportedly tighten border security and offer a pathway to citizenship for the millions of people in this country illegally. Meanwhile, in Brazil, lawmakers are trying to overhaul the immigration system, but in a very different way. For more, we're joined by Stephen Keppel, economics editor with our good friends at Univision News. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so how does the immigration debate that is going on in Brazil right now compare to the one that's happening in this country?
Well, it's a little different, mainly because in Brazil, they want more immigrants, or at least that's what the government's saying. They want to attract around 3 million new immigrants in the next few years. And basically, their current workforce, just 0.3% is born outside of the country, and they want to raise that to around 2 or 3%.
And where do they want these people to come from?
They don't care where they come from, but they are clear about what they want and what they don't want. So they want engineers, they want doctors, they want architects, they want people that work in tech. But they've come out of saying they don't want any more lawyers. They don't want people with social sciences degrees. So all those English majors in the United States, you're out of luck in Brazil.
So what do they intend to do to get these people attracted to Brazil the way that they might be attracted to countries in Europe or the United States?
Well, they do have a bit of a ways to go because the visa system in Brazil is complicated. It can take up to a year to get a work visa. So they're basically trying to streamline this. They're creating some new agencies that are aiming to cut some red tape and just make the process a lot easier and faster.
Is there pushback in Brazil the way there is here from some who don't want outsiders coming in and taking domestic jobs?
Not as much, it seems, and partly because the unemployment rate in Brazil is currently at historic lows. It's around 5.5%, which I think people in the United States or Europe would love to have. That said, Brazil is going through a little bit of a slowdown, and if that were to continue and unemployment were to rise sharply, you know, we might see some more Brazilians kind of saying, hey, we're not so sure about bringing all these immigrants.
So, Stephen, for that engineering student who's coming out of MIT or Carnegie Mellon or the University of Illinois and they can't find a job in the United States, should they be looking in Brazil?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think the Brazilians would pay for their flight tickets and really set them up nicely. But I don't think that they would have too much trouble finding jobs in the U.S. at the moment.
Stephen Keppel, economics editor at Univision News. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, down more than 2% in Hong Kong, almost 2% lower right now in Frankfurt, 1.3% lower in London. Here in this country, we'll get a look this morning at the big monthly jobs report from the Labor Department. That'll tell us how many jobs were added in this country last month and what the new unemployment rate is. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 55 points to close at 14,606.
Mark Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
Well, season 6 of the hit drama series Mad Men starts on AMC this Sunday, and as fans flock to TV screens to catch up with Don, Peggy, and Pete, businesses are trying to catch up with those fans. Jason Slotkin reports.
John Steyer's bar in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, usually serves wine and beer, but for weddings and special events, they do have liquor. And this Sunday, they're serving cocktails.
We do it only on special occasions, and Sunday nights for Mad Men is going to be one of them.
Steyer says the promotion helps draw customers on a typically slow night. Sunday sales during the show's run often more than double.
We just know that people are going to come because they know that we're going to have our TVs on.
Bars aren't the only businesses to piggyback on Mad Men's popularity. Last year, Banana Republic launched a Mad Men-inspired clothing line, which helped boost its parent company's third-quarter profits. But it's not like you see a clothing line inspired by The Walking Dead. What is it about Mad Men that marketers love?
An image, a look, that then becomes easier for brands to begin to import themselves into.
Brent Vartan handles market strategy for the advertising firm Deutsch. He says Mad Men taps into yearnings for glamour and a lifestyle of cocktail-swilling fun, themes that appeal to sought-after younger consumers. As Don Draper himself says,
advertising is based on one thing, happiness.
I'm Jason Slotkin for Marketplace.
And finally, to the sad news that the legendary film critic Roger Ebert has died. Since the news came out yesterday, a lot of people from all over the world have offered their thoughts about his many contributions, about his sensibility, his writing, and his character. Well, I've got one thing to add. Roger Ebert and I were born in the same town, Urbana, Illinois, about 2 hours south of Chicago. And he never forgot where he came from and where he got his start in journalism. He visited many times when I was growing up and even started a film festival there called Ebert Fest 15 years ago. The organizers say it'll go on as scheduled later this month. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.